for an hour. All right, Ross, we're going to go inside the audio of some things from post-game and then through other press conferences and including Sirianni's interview with us yesterday. Four pieces of audio will go in sequence of how they occurred. We'll start with Sirianni after the game, or I guess this, well, I actually honestly don't remember, Sunday after the game or Monday morning? I don't know.
I believe it was Sunday night.
But anyway, it's sometime after the game is played, Sirianni went totally on the record, very clear, that it was his decision to run that particular play on fourth down.
On that fourth and one at the end of the half, I called that, not Kellen. So I called that play at the end of the half. Kellen did not. I called it.
Why?
That's what I thought was best for the football team at that particular case. That was my decision. I did it. It didn't work. And I'll get better from it.
All right. So I admire his willingness to state that. Ree, I know you initially did not believe him. Do you still not believe him?
I don't believe it a lot.
You really think he's lying?
Yeah.
Wow. I see. I really don't. So what's the theory behind you think he's lying? You think he's trying to protect Kellen Moore?
I don't know if it's about protecting Kellen Moore as much as it's making like he's not doing nothing.
But that's a weird one to step forward and say.
I understand. I understand.
Ross, what's your instincts tell you? Truthful or not?
I lean towards truthful.
But then
a couple things. Here's the thing. He's either being honest or he's very much being unselfish and being a leader and trying to take the heat instead of having it be on Kellen Moore. And we know for a fact that he's done that before because of the Seahawks Monday night game last year when he said that it was his decision for Hurts to throw the ball downfield to A.J. Brown.
That's why.
And A.J. Brown came out and said, yeah, coach was just covering for us. Mm-hmm. Hurts and I just did that on our own.
And it was ridiculous at the time.
This feels too transparent. This feels too obvious like that. Like Nick just jumping on that grenade, essentially. Hey, remember I did do that. He's not having to say that, but we do remember that he did this.
So here's the one thing. I would need to hear the exact audio of how he framed it last year in December when he said that. My recollection, I could be wrong, the answer was more along the lines of we were trying to draw a pass interference, inferring that by throwing the ball down there, that's one of the possibilities.
Yeah, he did say that.
Not so much like we can look it up clearly.
No, but that wasn't his decision to have Hurts throw that ball there.
No,
Hurts just did that to AJ.
I get
and Sirianni just came up with, yeah, we thought maybe we could get PI.
Yeah, but that's different than I told my quarterback to throw it deep. I don't think he said that. But we'll try to find it. All right, let's get to more because let's get to then yesterday. We have Sirianni on the show. John asked a great question. Now, clearly Sirianni did not want to specify in the answer the real answer. We're not going to give you the whole thing because he talks for like 17 straight minutes. But the beginning will tell you how he did not want to answer this question.
How often over the course of the game do you call the play?
You know, I'm not going to get into this percentage of time. You know, the way we game plan is collaborative. Every staff I've ever been on has been that way, from when I was the quarterback coach to when I was the receiver coach to when I was the coordinator to when I was the head coach.
All right, so
it's such a collaborative effort.
He's not going to give you the answer, and he doesn't have to, but it would have been fascinating to know. So let's get to Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore on this topic was asked a couple of questions yesterday, including one I believe it was from Jeff McClain.
Nick has final say because he's the head coach. Stout doesn't, so the hierarchy is different there. How does it change when you do get the information versus when you get it from Stout or Jason Michaels or whoever else?
I think no different than any place I've ever been. Obviously, we're all teaming up on this thing, and we're trying to get the calls in as fast as possible, and at the same time playing situational football and making decisions at a critical time very quickly. And so we all lean on each other. I think we have an excellent process here. It's been a really fun process just because of how much work we put into it during the week to prepare ourselves for those situations.
Look, here's the deal. Here's where this is fascinating and very important. He either is or is not telling the truth. I'm talking about Sirianni. I think he is. If he is, I mean, John, that is quite an alteration from what we thought. I mean, there's been this CEO head coach thing, and now it's like, well, maybe he actually is the CEO. Maybe he actually is the guy in charge. We view CEO almost like a tongue-in-cheek, like you're the overseer of a whole thing, but like maybe he's still got his hands on the company, so to speak. One more thing from Kellen Moore, then we'll all react, because there was another exchange, you know, similar type of topic here.
When it comes to a key moment in a game, obviously Sirianni being the head coach, if you have a play, how much do you feel you have to push if you feel the play should go a certain way?
We spent a lot of time during the week talking through every possible scenario. Again, similar to like short yards, for example, I mean, you're going to carry a number of plays, and it's just a matter of what's the right time to call that one. And usually we're bouncing ideas off each other throughout the game, not just those situations, but first and second down. I think we have a really fun collaborative group on our offensive staff, and you know, and Nick's certainly a part of that heavily. And so what it allows us to do is really team up on all these different situations, talk through the possible outcomes, and make the best decision possible.
All right, so let's just all go on the record. Just lay it out there. Do you think Sirianni told the truth or not? I think he did. John?
Told the truth.
Saying that he called the 4th-and-1 play. Not said we're going for it. Said we're going for it and we're running this play.
Yeah, I believe him.
Devin?
I think he decides to go for it. I feel like it has to be Kellen Moore who decides what play to run.
You think Sirianni lied in the press conference?
I don't think he lied.
Well, he did if he didn't call the play. He either called the play or he lied.
He said in his two press conferences from last week and then this week, he has reiterated multiple times, and he almost seems a little testy when he does, I'm not going to get into this with you guys anymore. I am the one who decides if we go for it or don't go for it. So I think it could be his way of just trying to move off the topic.
Seltzer, did he lie or not?
Let me say something.
He didn't lie. I don't think he lied.
This is the big change up off of the tush push. This is probably something that they had in place for, you know, this season, a couple weeks, maybe going back to the OTAs. This is the change up.
Well, we've always known that
Saquon is going to reverse, you know, he's going to reverse out and try to get that sweep working. And
they've used that play before.
It's not groundbreaking.
No.
It is just a variation, and it doesn't seem like it's that out of context for Nick to say, hey, this might work here.
Well, I would advocate. See, Ross, I hear you on the numbers say you kick the field goal. Again, if I have a good quarterback, a great quarterback, I would actually trust him, because I think you do have a legitimate shot at 7 points, but you got to trust the quarterback, and he's got
to. But you have to get the fourth down.
No,
first,
you do, but no. Listen,
you have to convert Ross, the fourth down first
thought,
to even get to that point.
I thought they should have run the freaking quarterback sneak, first and 10 it, one play in the end zone. You get the touchdown, you throw the ball away, you kick a field goal.
Joe, can I ask an honest question?
Sure.
Okay, whether he's lying or not, whether he's falling on the sword for Kellen Moore or not,
yep.
Why do you think it's a big deal? Like, what?
Oh,
why are we spending
God.
This much time
Can
on
I,
it?
Why, I'll
yeah,
tell you why.
I think this is important. I want to know, like, because
sure.
one way or the other, like, he either called
no, let me,
it.
Let me answer that. It's such a simple answer. Because in January, it took 9 days for the Eagles to publicly announce whether Nick Sirianni still had a job or not. And in those 9 days, we all wondered if he was going to be the head coach anymore. When they emerged from the bunker and finally was like, all right, Nick's still our coach. We saw a changing of the guard at the offensive coordinator spot. We heard an awful lot, including from Nick himself, that he was stepping back on offense and that it was pretty much Kellen Moore's show, that Nick Sirianni would pop into meetings on offense but not lead them and not even be in all of them. He would pop in. And so I think the perception was for a coach who two times in a three-year career had play calling taken from him two times, that he wasn't very good at that, and that let's hope Kellen Moore is better, should be better. Let's roll with the Kellen Moore play calls. If Nick Sirianni is overruling Kellen Moore, I think it's a massive deal because I don't think he's as good at it.
Two things on that. Number one, the only thing I know for sure is Sirianni probably really regrets that he said it was his call. Lying or not. I don't think he's happy that he opened up this whole can of worms. And I also say about the CEO coach thing, like when I was with the Patriots, Belichick didn't call plays on either side of the ball.
Right, but if you wanted to say to pick your coordinator,
Romeo
Bill O'Brien, Crennel, whatever, we're doing
Josh
this.
Josh McDaniels,
yeah.
Charlie Weiss.
Then they were going to do it.
Right, and that's the same with Sirianni.
No, but that's the way it is with 31 coaches in pro football, but we had a sense that he had been emasculated to the point where That might not be the case here. And I think what we found out, if he's telling the truth, is he still has that juice.
So I have a question. Him saying he's stepping back on offense, bringing in a new coordinator,
yep.
At what point did that go from he doesn't even have the power to overrule?
Well, we wondered. I mean, to be clear, Ross, we speculated. Let's not.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss something.
No question. No question.
Just because they brought in new coordinators doesn't mean he still doesn't oversee it or have the power to say, hey, let's do this.
Fair point. But
honestly, don't you have to on some level? If you're the one deciding whether to go for it or not or kick the field goal, don't you have to have some input as to the play call?
You ready for this answer?
If you're the one making the bigger decision?
Here's the answer. Yes, under normal circumstances. In this case, if you're good enough at it. Period. Like, yes, I want the head coach to have that power, .. if he's good enough at it.
This is something he believes he's good enough at. This is something he believes that is a strength. The teaching of the offense. This is, he told us, like, when he was in San Diego, when he was in Indianapolis, this was what he was best at. Creating these plays, designing these plays, and then teaching these plays to his players. This he likes this stuff.
Okay, look, we'll take your reaction. There's an awful lot in there, plus the Phillies. They dodge a bullet with the Dodgers and the Yankees both losing last night. But, you know, the clock is ticking now with four games to go, and the Phillies currently do not have home field advantage, and that was a setback last night with the ridiculous latest Taiwan appearance. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, plus Sirianni on the Saquon Barkley usage and Vic Fangio on Bryce Huff. We'll get to that and more up ahead with Ross with us on 94 WIP.
Fall is upon us, and now is the perfect time. Head over to Lexus of Cherry Hill. They've got their L-certified fall collection sales event to find the Lexus of your dreams.
Go crazy! Unless they stall out on offense. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. All right, Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. We got Devin, Seltzer, Rhea, and Ross Tucker. Wonderful to be with you. Mike Quick will be with us in an hour. Mike at about 9:10 today. Coming up shortly here, we actually found the audio of Sirianni after the Seattle game talking about that deep shot last year. So what he said, we'll get to that very soon. Also, there was some audio from yesterday, and John, I know you got a particular chuckle out of the latest. We talk about Devin sometimes with oops, she did it again. It was an oops, I did it again yesterday.
Oh.
And you think it was kind of an all-timer. So we'll play that audio soon, because for those that missed the, what'd you call it, Seltzer? The tadpole incident?
Yeah, I would call it the tadpole incident.
Is that
incident.
A fair way to put it?
I think that's fair, yeah. There's a lot we still need to delve into on tadpoles.
Well,
with what?
Devin?
That is the correct response.
Just give it about 5 or 7 minutes. Okay. Everyone that missed it, my guess
questions.
Is that you'll be very humored by my latest confusion on the world of animals and such.
Okay. Humored. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that's right.
Startled.
Humor
and,
is not right.
And,
no.
And be very afraid, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go to the phones. Hassan.
Definitely be afraid.
Hassan at Strawberry Mansion. Hi, Hassan. Hassan. Hassan.
Oh, no.
Hassan. Not quite there. We go to Mr. Shorehands is the name. I wonder if this is Freddie Mitchell.
This?
Might be Freddie. Good morning, Mr. Shorehands.
We spoke before. You know this ain't Freddie. This Shorehands from West Oak Lane, man.
There you go.
Hey, I'm going to go get it.
What makes you think that you have Shorehands, Mr. Shorehands?
Anything I tell you, believe in it. I guarantee you.
Can I ask you a question?
Wait, you think you have really good hands?
For certain.
So, like, are you talking about catching a football?
I'm talking about as far as anything with my hands. I'm very
you like George Costanza or a hand model?
Oh boy!
Do you think? My hands. I used to use them the wrong way, and my hands don't look good enough to model no more.
All right, all right, fair enough. All right, my man. What do you got on the birds?
All right. So the main thing is the main thing, right? Kellen Moore, better play calling. Nick Sirianni don't have to override it. The quarterback coach is not doing his job, because what is he telling Jalen if Jalen keep doing the same thing?
Well, look, it's easy sometimes to blame coaches, but the coach isn't making $250 million. The star player has to play better.
Coaches do need to provide the right guidance for him to have an offense that gives him the options to get out of plays, get into the right plays.
You don't know that they're not providing him with that guidance.
And you don't know that they
Here's what I know about Carson. People blame coaches. He stunk. Now,
he
I'm
had
not...
no ball security on the fumble. That's 100%.
You're talking about Hurts or Carson?
Jalen Hurts. Yeah,
yeah, of course.
It's 100%.
And I'm not saying Jalen's as bad as Carson got to, but I mean, he's trending in the wrong direction. I mean, you got to see that.
So Jalen is not playing great. His quarterback coach is not telling him what to do. He's holding on.
Well,
ball.
You're going to continue. You're going to keep saying that, or I'm going to keep.
I know that he's reminded.
Like the person that stinks.
I know he's reminded every day to have two hands on the ball anytime there's congestion.
All right, sure hands. Give me a fictional royal character.
King Triton, I think.
Oh yeah, Ariel.
You got it, my man.
Little Mermaid's dad.
How about that? That's another one I haven't seen. All them.
You've never seen
what?
Wow.
No.
I was about to be like indignant, and then I was of course shouldn't be surprised.
All right, Ross, you get
and
to
I
make.
I don't think he'll ever watch it. Either.
No, not at this
well,
point.
Well, no, yeah.
He's too cool.
I'm too old.
Little
Mermaid. Too old.
No, you're
he's
not
missing
too
out. Is what he is.
It's really good.
It's
if
great.
You watch it now, you'll enjoy it.
Okay, Ross, you get to make the call here. This is like door number one, door number
Little
two,
Mermaid's
door number three.
Awesome.
Well,
awesome movie.
All right, Ross, here's the deal. Do you want to first hear Sirianni after the Seattle game last year? Do you want to hear Sirianni yesterday on the heavy uses of Saquon Barkley? Or do you want to hear Tadpole? All are acceptable answers.
I don't know what Tadpole is, so I guess I want to hear Tadpole.
Okay.
Good answer, Ross.
All right, here we go. So, you know, through the years, I've had some statements and misstatements on the show where people have questioned how can someone who knows so much about so much know so little about so much? Mm-hmm. So we entered the animal kingdom again yesterday, and without me knowing, I stepped in it, so to speak. Here is Tadpole. How does the caterpillar become the butterfly? Like, I'm 46 years
That's
old.
That's just
I still,
nature.
I haven't figured that one out. Caterpillar.
Cocoon.
Butterfly.
Uh-huh. Cocoon.
Chrysalis.
Tadpole. Yes. Frog.
Crystallization.
See, I didn't know that one. Tadpole and frog. I didn't know that.
What?
No,
come
what?
On.
Whoa. I didn't know that.
Whoa.
I don't know that at all.
Hold on.
You
stop. Joe.
What? I didn't know that.
What?
I'm looking at your face. You're dead serious.
I had no idea that tadpole becomes a frog.
No way.
You can't be serious.
I'm dead serious.
So you thought,
I know of tadpoles and I know of frogs.
Are you serious?
I didn't know one becomes the other.
You're 46.
They know.
This is amazing.
They know it.
Although with Joe, is it amazing?
It's unbelievable.
Oh, oh my.
You tell me you read all the time. Do you not ever like
not
look
that.
Anything up?
I have to read about frog. I mean, I've read about Frog and Toad when I was 6 years old. They were great books, Frog and Toad. But it wasn't called Tadpole into Toad or Tadpole into Frog. It's called Toad and Frog.
Wow.
Oh,
man.
My gosh.
I don't even know what to say.
All right. And that's
Joe,
Tadpole.
How many legs does a tadpole have?
Well, that I don't know. I mean, I'll guess two, but I don't know. I have
you
no idea.
Guess two? It becomes a frog.
Was that four?
Do you know what a tadpole
How many legs does a frog
We need
have.
A new segment called Joe vs. Science.
Hold on. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely
real
right.
Science
how many legs,
so win.
How many legs does a frog have?
I mean, first statement is, I don't know. No, I can take a guess. Would you like me to guess?
Sure.
It's probably like the wings thing. It's either two or four.
Like the wings thing.
How many legs does a frog have?
You want me to answer the question?
Yes.
By guessing?
Yes.
I will guess two.
Have you ever seen a frog before?
Is it four?
Wow, man.
Do you know what a frog is like?
It's frogs have four legs.
It's a frog.
Yeah, it's a frog, man.
Do? I've never been underneath a frog.
Like
I don't know how
human,
they land.
A little this human being bipedal?
Does
like
Kermit
frog,
the Frog
man.
Have no arms?
It's an
Does
animal.
Kermit the Frog just walk around on legs but have no arms?
I don't know.
Can we just go back to I've never been underneath a frog?
Yeah.
Why do you need to be underneath
well,
a frog?
Well, how else would
I miss that? Great point,
Doug. Arms and heads.
They're tiny little guys.
Underneath a frog.
They're little guys. I don't know what's under
that
there.
That's so true.
I don't know what's under there.
I don't know, man.
All right. All right.
No
it's going to be a very frog heavy drop
science.
Of the week.
All right. Ross, I guess you chose wisely with that. We'll get to the Saquon audio and we'll get to the Seattle audio from last year shortly. Ken is in Minson. Ken, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Confused with the world, Ken.
Well, yeah.
So, everything's been thrown upside down for me.
Happy birthday to the glue of the show, James. Happy birthday, buddy.
Indeed.
And second, well, being surprised that Joe doesn't know how many legs Tadpole has is almost as ridiculous as being surprised that Nick Sirianni, as the head coach of the football team, is actually in charge.
You know what's crazy? I think it might actually be a trick question, the tadpole thing. Because I don't know
if they have legs or not. I just went to the frog thing because I knew that he had no concept of a frog thing.
Like a frog is a better question.
Yeah, exactly.
A tadpole actually can have any number of legs as it's changing into a frog. Right.
But Ken, I heard what you did there. You made a pro Sirianni point, so go ahead.
Well, listen. There's so much here, so I don't know where to start. So let me get to a few things here in order, and then you can go ahead and tell me how stupid I am. First of all, I texted James when they decided to go for it on fourth and one with 14 seconds left, that the decision didn't make any sense to me. But the play call indicates, and Nick Sirianni basically said this, the play call indicates the plan wasn't make the first down and then take a shot into the end zone. The play call itself was intended to score the touchdown they were at.
I agree with that.
Now, it didn't work, but that was the decision. And, you know, you see, decisions are made like that all over the NFL every Sunday, and the play doesn't work. So, you know, here we are where we spent all summer talking about Nick Sirianni like he might as well be the interior decorator and stay home with his family on Sundays because of that stupid-ass question in the press conference about what do you do around here.
Well, hold on. But Ken, I'll disagree with you on that forever. First off, if he said, I'm going to do what I've been doing, that would have made things a lot more simpler for people to understand. I mean, he said
I might pop into defensive meeting, and then we were all like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, Ken, that's
man.
On Sirianni. You can't, and it wasn't just defense he was, quote, popping into. He referenced popping into offensive meetings. That's on him for answering the question in a bad way.
Here's where we differ. I have never really cared too much about press conferences. Nick Sirianni's not great at them, okay? Mm-hmm. I asked Jason Kelce.
He's gotten better.
Well, not much, obviously. Mm-hmm. I asked Jason Kelce a question on the air last Thursday, and the reason I asked him that question was not so much to influence the thoughts and minds of the listeners, because I know that's utterly impossible around here. But I was hoping at least Jason's answer.
Look at you taking a shot. Look at you.
Just took on the whole audience. I love it.
What are you, Frazier Crane in the early years of Cheers? High and mighty, all haughty? What is going on here?
That was Frazier Crane in all his years.
Yeah, but he was really, really bad in season three. When he came in as Diane's boyfriend.
I believe you.
Yeah. No, I know I'm right about that one. That was high on the horse, Frazier. I know what John just said. He said I'm a loser for watching Cheers
so
much.
We're going to trust Ken, the Cheers
thing. I need an answer. A royal fiction. A fictional character.
Finish this?
Well, we got a lot to get to. I got to get to some Sirianni auto. Give me an answer here.
All right. The Lion King.
The Lion King.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty big answer.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to Sirianni. Actually, before we play the audio.
That's a great one.
That's a big one. Before we get to Sirianni from last year after Seattle, let's just listen one more time to what Sirianni said, after this game was played, when he went out of his way to indicate that he, not Kellen Moore, had chosen which play to run when the fourth and one was a failed play.
On that fourth and one at the end of the half, I called that, not Kellen. So I called that play at the end of the half. Kellen did not. I called it.
Why?
That's what I thought was best for the football team at that particular case. That was my decision. I did it. It didn't work. And I'll get better from it.
Okay. Some people believe
him. Doesn't that sound like it's a little bit of a throwaway the way he said it?
I'll get better. We'll get better.
Said it.
Well, that part, sure. But he's being very forceful.
Very, like, over the top. Like, I did it. Hey, guys, it was me. I did it. I said I did it, like, four times in that, like, 15 seconds.
He's also followed up with, like, hey, if it works, I'll give credit to other people. If it doesn't work, it's always on me. Like, that, when you get into it like that, it feels like this.
Isn't that what we always ask? Yeah, that's what we always ask. All coaches. You've talked about Andy Reid and how much you love that from him.
Hold on. I understand that it's a leadership thing, but I also understand when you're that transparent about it, you're almost diffusing the whole process. When you're that transparent, saying, when it works, I'll give credit to Kellen. When it doesn't work, it's always on me because I'm the head coach. It's like, it's not that simple.
I get that it creates confusion.
It so simple.
Look, it does, but I also, you know, something he said in a recent press conference, I forget which day, and we do get annoyed by all the references to his family and learning football, growing up and all that.
Coach Dan?
But all the coaches. Sounds like there's 30 coaches in the family.
I actually didn't mind the Coach Dan reference for
it's ridiculous.
Worth.
But the one the other day where he said his dad told him years ago that as the head coach, like, it is on you. Mm-hmm. And that resonated with me. Like,
I get that.
That's honorable.
Yes, but there are mixed results here. Like, you've taken it too far with the, it's just automatic. If it fails, I'm going to say it's on me.
Well, it creates confusion.
Because now I don't know.
And it also, to Richie's point, it does take a little away from the accountability thing. Because it's kind of like,
not
you never really know. Yeah,
it
no, I get your point, Richie. It's a fair point.
And it is not leadership the way it should be.
It is rote leadership.
He should have just not said that. He should have just taken accountability for it and not said, I'm going to always take accountability when it's someone else.
Precisely.
You should have just done it.
All right, we're going to play the Seattle audio from last year in a moment. Ross, what do you make of this exchange between John and James last minute?
Yep. I desperately, desperately want to have a segment on my show with Sirianni where we listen to you talking about tadpoles and decide whether or not we think you really believe that or whether you're just doing that as a bit for the show to be funny. Does Joe DiCamera, do you think, Sirianni, that Joe DiCamera is being honest and really thinks a tadpole isn't a frog? Or is he just doing that to be funny on his show? I want to turn the tables on you bad right now, Joe.
Okay, but I can answer the question. It was truthful. I didn't know. But speculate away. I get your point, Ross. All right, let's listen to the Seattle situation from last year. This may have been right after the game or a couple days later. I think it was. The Eagles had the deep shot, you know, obviously to A.J. Brown. We know clearly that Sirianni covered for Jalen, who chose to throw deep. We wanted to find out what exactly did he say. Now, this was a long answer. Wechter has condensed it down to about 30 seconds. He says this is the best 30 seconds that will show the heart of his answer. Here is Nick Sirianni last year in December on that situation.
We understand the criticism, but not only could you get a pass interference, also A.J. has a tremendous ability to come down with the football in one-on-one situations. And you know what? In this particular case, it didn't work out. But you know, we're comfortable with what was called and what we did in that scenario. And you know, we'll be better next time because of it.
Okay. See, that's what I thought. He did not say, "I told my quarterback to throw deep." He indicated thought process once the play was thrown deep. He did chose to cover for Jalen, and I respect that.
We were going to get pass interference on it.
Yeah, but that's different.
That's going deep.
No, that's not.
It's implied.
No, it's not. He said the other day, I called the play. He did not say last year in Seattle, I told my quarterback to throw deep. That is a totally different answer.
No, Joe, I think you're using semantics.
Oh, I disagree.
100%.
Okay, I disagree entirely. John, your thoughts on how he answered that as it relates to the one the other day?
I do think it's very different. I mean, it's. He's not saying, hey, I saw the coverage on that play and we had it intact that Jalen could get to a go route if he saw fit. That was never mentioned. We never knew Jalen changed the play.
We didn't know for about 2 or 3 weeks.
No, we had no idea. That was all under wraps. And then he told us every time there's a play called, if it works, he's going to give credit to the play caller. If it doesn't work, he's going to say it's on him because he's the head coach and he's supposed to take the blame if things don't work. Like, that seems a little wonky. All of that. Yeah. It's wonky.
Let me ask you a question, Devin. Should we just talk about Taiwan Walker?
I'm not sure which one is more painful, talking about tadpoles or Taiwan Walker.
By the way, James, I got to hear the booing of Taiwan, but kind of the cheering of Rob Thompson to get him out. But it's also kind of some booing of the
boos to the cheers. Yeah. It's like the transition.
I love a good Philly sarcastic cheer.
Totally.
And that's what we got for Taiwan last night.
Here we go. This is the moment when Taiwan, hopefully this, and by the way, we still might see him one more time. I mean, he's coming out of the bullpen. He could pitch. Saturday or Sunday. It's not inconceivable.
Hey, Joe.
What? You should keep your mouth shut.
Out of the bullpen.
Don't you feel like every time he makes an appearance, arm. We're like, well, that's the last time we'll see
well,
him.
This
and
one,
then he sneaks this, up on us again.
But this felt like, holy cow, if he comes back after this one,
I mean,
what is going
well,
on?
I will
We've
say
said
this
that
though.
Every time,
he
though.
Could,
I know.
He
I know.
Could start at the end of the
yeah,
year.
Yeah, there could be a game that's meaningless.
Yeah,
like actually, everything's decided. It's like roll guys out there.
Totally.
That's like the Taiwan Walker
it's
spot.
So excruciating,
all right, let's listen to Taiwan being finally taken out.
1-0 pitch. Swung on, line down the left field line. That one is a fair ball just inside the line to the corner. Hayes has it, fires it back in. Swanson into second with a double. Hap around to third. And there are two on with nobody out here in the top of the fourth inning. But well, I mean, how would you go about it if you're trying to fix something in the offseason? Here comes Rob Thompson, and he's going to make a pitching change.
Unbelievable. Really is. All right, let's go to the phones. Hassan in Strawberry Mansion. Good morning, Hassan.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hassan, we missed you earlier.
I know. I apologize. I had it muted. I
figured it was something.
To the radio.
That happens to me all the time.
My man, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, man.
All good, my man. All right, what do you got for us today?
Joe, I can't agree with you. I think Sirianni does have some play calling ability. Like, first and foremost, I would be, remiss if he didn't have the right to veto or call a fourth down here and there, or say, no, I want this run. Like, what are you really here for at all?
Well, totally. Ordinarily, you would want the guy to have that power. The question
well, that's
this
the
year.
Thing. It keeps getting peeled back. Well, but, initially, he had all the power in the world. Well, he was calling the plays.
Right. But we wondered, Hassan, was it a condition of him staying that he would not have the authority to overrule an offensive coordinator? We wondered that. And I think it was a reasonable thing to wonder based on how Sirianni himself presented things publicly about his power being stripped. I mean, he wasn't like cloaking it. I mean, he was pretty clear that it was a Kellen Moore show this year on offense. I mean, that's why we speculated on it.
Right.
We
True.
Think. But then the way that he explains it, the collaborative approach, that does make sense too.
Well, it's always going to be collaborative.
But
I mean, they know.
Then when he turns it around and describes it the way he did, where it's just so cut and dry, I do like once again, it becomes sort of broken and not anywhere close to what I was expecting would be coming out of the mouth of our head coach.
Yeah,
I hope that's not happening to the players themselves. I hope the players' expectations for their coach are being met because, man, that would be devastating to realize, hey, the head coach isn't who I thought he was.
All right, Hassan, give me a great answer, man, a fictional royal character.
How about my man Robin of Loxley?
What's the name?
Oh, Robin of Loxley, the Prince of Thieves.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Clever.
That's a big one, too. Wow. That Kevin Costner movie was pretty darn good.
Entertaining.
Yeah, it really was.
It's a little silly.
Although we did have to see his bear Heine in that movie,
also,
right?
Well, the big issue with that is his accent that he attempts to do.
Maybe it was Dancing with Wolves.
We saw the Heine. Prince of Thieves is
Heine. I don't need to see Costner's Heine.
You are hung up on Heine, though. I wouldn't know that I saw his Heine in Dances with Wolves.
You knew back then.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, there's a scene.
I didn't know back then. I didn't pay
John,
attention.
You saw the movie. You didn't see his hiney and then not know you saw his hiney.
But I think I probably immediately forgot about it.
I don't think anyone remembers it. Yeah. I saw Dancing with Wolves. I have zero memory.
It's a great movie. All right, let's get you, Ross. I'm going to play this audio for you in particular because we talked about this last week with you, the Saquon usage.
Yeah.
The intent of my question will be very clear when you hear what I asked Sirianni. I thought his answer was like, All right, here we go. Saquon through three games has 73 touches. If you extrapolate that for 21 games, which is what it'll probably take to win the Super Bowl if you don't get a bye, he's on pace for 511 touches. 511. Do you feel you need to dial him back a bit?
Well, I think I don't remember where I said this. I do a lot of media, so I don't remember if I said it here, if I said it in the production meeting, if I said it, you know, wherever I said this. But you do everything you can do to win each individual game, right? Can you imagine if we didn't give him the ball as many times as we did and we lost? You know what I mean? I think about how that would feel.
Right.
Like, oh my God, we didn't give Saquon. We tried to pull back on Saquon to rest him for the 21 games like you're talking about, and we lost the game. You better win the game.
Yes.
You better win the game, and that's our job every single week. So the way I look at it, guys, is we'll do whatever. If Saquon needs to carry it seven times to win because we got to throw it a bunch, then that's what's got to happen. If Saquon's got to carry it 50 times to win, then we'll give them to him 50 times. Where we can make up for that is in practice. You know, Saquon, how you feel?
talking to Saquon, how he's feeling, pulling back on him in practice, so that way he's completely fresh.
That's Sirianni with us yesterday. Ross, here's my question to you. I mean, look, we all know their chances of winning the game last Sunday were increased by giving him the ball so much. That's very evident, self-evident, as Ben Franklin put into the Declaration of Independence. It was Thomas Jefferson's line, but Franklin made an adjustment into self-evident. Here's my question to you. Well, that all meant
like you know that, and you don't know what a tadpole looks like or how many.
But
legs
you
love,
but you were so proud that you could throw that in.
Of course,
St. Joe's Prep Smart.
Of course,
like it just cracks me up how you want to put in these little things that you think you know
Thank
and
you.
Nobody else knows.
No, other people know it. Less
Ross
than 1%.
Ross is spicy today. I
Ross
like
is
it.
Spicy.
I like it.
He woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Ross, Ross, here's my question to you: is it sustainable? I mean, they're not actually going to give him the ball 500 times this year, right?
Well, I mean,
if they got the, let's put it this way, if they played 21 games, he's not actually going to touch the ball 500 times, right?
No, he's not. I love that. See, that's a good example too. You love to use the word like extrapolate over 21 games there. No, you know what's so funny though, Joe? In all sincerity, I bet you John's the same way. Every game, I've been frustrated that they haven't given it to him more.
Wow.
there are times when Hurts pulls the ball and runs. I'm like, no, that's a give. There are times when Hurts pulls the ball and throws it, and I want him to give it. What's crazy to me about this conversation, you are 1,000% right, Joe. For them to win the Super Bowl, they need a fresh and healthy Saquon in January. There is no doubt, unlike some of the Sirianni word parsing, I think this is a phenomenal topic to discuss, but what's wild in my mind is I've come out of every game thinking they should have given it to him more, but you're right.
Yeah.
They have to be careful about it. I think they probably have to lean on him more while A.J. Brown and Devontae are out. I think there will be other games when those guys are both back where they can dial it back a little bit. He did only get 17 carries. So he went from 24 carries to 22 to 17. So it's kind of trending in the right direction in terms of the volume of handoffs they're giving him.
Yeah, I'll say this, Ross. Final thing on this topic, and then we'll just get your assessment of the next game. To me, it's a twofold strategy of how to do this. Number one, get Shipley involved more. I want to see what that kid's got. Number two, when Jalen has a chance to get 7 points, get 7 points. Because, you know, you won't need to lean on Saquon so much in a close game if, you know, when Goddard was open the other day, and granted, he hit Goddard a lot, it was great, but that one time when Goddard on a blown coverage was wide open right out of the gate, or, you know, the red zone turnovers. I mean, if they just convert some of these zeros become sevens, you're not in such a tight game, and you
that
don't have to.
That happens a lot, where a quarterback misses a guy who's wide open.
It happens though. Sometimes.
It happens a lot.
Okay, sometimes.
The best.
All right, Ross, the Bucs, how good are they this game Sunday?
I think they're pretty good. Yeah, I mean, they went up to Detroit and won, which was impressive. Baker Mayfield's played very well since he's been there in Tampa. They have a couple of outstanding receivers who have been there forever. They got this young rookie running back, Bucky Irving, who impresses me. Defensively, they've been pretty good. They were not as good, though, on Sunday against the Broncos. They just lost by 2 scores at home against the Broncos and a rookie quarterback,
Bo Nix.
That doesn't make me feel great. I mean, on the one hand, it's good that they were able to lose to a team like that. On the other hand, I just don't expect the Bucs to have back-to-back performances like that. I think that was a little bit of a wake-up call. Maybe they thought they were better than they really were after they won in Detroit. I'm expecting a much better performance from the Bucs on Sunday, and I'm expecting Todd Bowles to blitz the heck out of Jalen Hurts because he's had a lot of success with it.
Yep.
But the Eagles have been pretty good against the blitz this year, so we're about to find out just
out
how
it.
Good, because Bowles is a very, very good D coordinator and blitzer, and we're going to find out once and for all whether or not they fixed the blitz. My question, and I'm curious, do you guys feel like this is a revenge game or not at all?
Boy, I almost feel like it's not, and I'm going to tell you why. The Eagles can't feel revenge when they didn't show up. Like, I don't view
this.
It's
just interesting because not only did it end the season last year, but it also ended Jason Kelce's career.
It did, but
Fletcher Cox's career. I mean, it was a very, I would say unceremonious ending for those two
guys. It is, but my point, Ross, is the Eagles that are back from last year, which is probably about 30 guys, they should be mad at themselves, not the Bucs. Like, to me, this isn't revenge.
That's a
like,
good point. You know, I think that's fair,
the Bucs didn't screw
point.
The Eagles. The Bucs showed up to play a playoff football game, and the Eagles didn't show up. That's the Eagles' fault.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Hey, Ross, stay well, man. Always great work, man. We love having you on the show. Thank you, Ross.
Sounds great. Talk to you guys next week. Happy birthday, Seltzer.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's tailgate season at Armin Chevy. Check the incredible lineup of SUVs at ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. First poll question, do you believe in Nick Sirianni as the head coach? I mean, we've gone in a lot of directions here with the Sirianni thing today. Where do you stand? A, yes. B, no. Second poll question. Do you like that the Phillies are still incorporating, even in a small way, Dancing on My Own in their clubhouse celebrations? A, yes. B, no. You can vote on that one as well. Coming up shortly here, this segment, we're going to get to what Ray Diddy said to us yesterday about Jalen, actually on Monday that was, about Jalen Hurts. An interesting answer from Ray about Hurts. Let's go to the phones and talk right now to Terry. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Terry?
Triple J. I actually, sorry, I missed Ross. He's a good dude. I love listening to him. I've been listening to him for years. I actually coached him in high school.
Nice. So no way. You coached Ross
in football? School, yeah. So,
good for you, man. That's pretty cool. Getting a player to the pros. That's a good accomplishment for a coach.
Absolutely, we are very proud of him. You know, we think you know he's the number one celebrity coming out of, well, Taylor Swift's nipping at his heel for number two.
You know, there you go. That's great. All right, Terry, what do you got?
So, you know, I think, and Ross probably could have kind of really talked about this, the appreciation that we should have for the right side of the line against the Saints. When you have Tyler Steen, you have Fred Johnson, you have two reserves coming in, and you're basically building up the right side of the line, you know, from and how they contributed to the win, or at least the opportunity to win. Because I agree that they were rushing him, you know, from up, but from a run blocking perspective, they were fantastic. I mean, it was just something that they contributed to that win so much, especially
it was huge.
On the
65
yard run.
Yeah,
it's a lot
I'm
of fun.
That the Saints didn't. The Saints didn't blitz the heck.
Well, outside. We had success running the football, and it was a nice varied game plan where those offensive linemen, both of them, Fred Johnson and Tyler Steen, when they got in the game, they got to pull. They got to be featured as at the point of attack in a power blocking scheme. They get to go hit linebackers that they outweigh by 60 pounds, and they get to be on the move. And that's where the ball's going. And it feels really good being an offensive lineman and sort of having your number called like that. So it was a great game for these young linemen to get into, and then instantly, like, you've got a chance to really show your stuff.
And
when they did, they rocked people, and they were doing well, and that gave them some confidence. And then the pass protection was also confident and competent.
That's right.
And it was just a solid game because they liked the way they could play with the power and the gap scheme. I really
Terry,
like it myself.
Terry, here's the analogy I'll give you, because obviously backup stepping in helped. You know, or hurt, depending on how well they play or not. We all know Nick Foles is the ultimate, you know, it worked out backup. And so were a number of guys that year, like Big V. But you even have a Philly, and he's not even a Philly anymore, Derek Hall from 2 years ago. Like, I'll always contend that if he doesn't step in, no one ever heard of Derek Hall. When he got in there, maybe
I think
June,
just hit a home run yesterday. I think, at some level.
He stepped in and was their cleanup hitter for about a month or more.
And did tremendous.
And did well.
He got hurt his thumb.
He eventually got hurt, but other guys came back. But
home runs, like, it was insane.
You know, he did a nice job. So that's an important part of sports, man. Like, if you have a guy out, look at Sosa this year held it down for a stretch. Then he kind of faded. But, you know, guys held it down for stretches. So, all right, Terry, give me a big-time answer. A royal that is a fictional character.
Well, I'm shocked that this is, because this is the first one that most kids heard of, Prince Charming.
Wow.
Good answer.
Love that one.
Holy mackerel.
Joe, do you know that one?
I do.
You're familiar with that one? Okay.
I don't know, like, all the ins and outs.
Have you seen it?
Probably not. I mean, if so, I was so young.
I'm assuming that's Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Right?
You've never seen Cinderella.
When you say
Devin's Prince Charmings.
She's doubting herself.
Well, am I wrong? Or
no,
they're not
I
do. Well, it comes from.
No, I think it's Cinderella.
But it comes from Cinderella.
I think Prince Charming is a concept.
Thank you, Rhea. Like, there's Snow White, there's Cinderella, there's Sleeping Beauty, there's a lot of different
Prince Charming is actually, Snow White, I believe.
Oh, no!
It's all of them. It's Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Rapunzel, and Cinderella.
Thank
all of them.
You. And Joe is here ready to fire shots my way.
So it looks like Sleeping Beauty in 1697, the book, it might be the first example of it. But either way, it's all of them.
Well, here's what I need to do.
You should keep your mouth shut.
Bad job by me. All right, let's listen to Ray Diddy. So we had Ray on the show the other day. And now I want to frame this, his answer, in the way the question was asked. It's an important distinction. I asked him at 3 o'clock on Sunday what he was thinking about Jalen Hurts. And I can't imagine big picture his answer would change that much. But, you know, they did win the game and obviously Jalen played better down the stretch. But the question was 3 o'clock on Sunday when Hurts was struggling, what were you thinking? Here's what Ray said.
You have to be concerned about Hurts. I mean, you just do. I mean, he's just making too many mistakes. He's just making too many mistakes. And it's going to be very hard to keep winning if he's going to keep making mistakes the way he's making them. Do you realize, I mean, we've all talked endlessly about giveaway, takeaway, turnover ratio, how that is the biggest single indicator of wins and losses in the NFL. It just is. I mean, that's the game today. Do you realize the last time, you know how far back you have to go for the last game when the Eagles came out on the plus of giveaway, takeaway?
How far back?
Kansas City last year.
That's brutal.
That's crazy.
11, it's been 11 games since you won giveaway takeaway. You didn't even win it yesterday.
That's startling. That really is.